I wonder if I could turn first to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a pleasure for the eyes. And the tree was to be desired, to give intelligence. And she took of its fruit and ate, and gave it also to her husband, with her he ate. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of Jehovah Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. A man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah Elohim in the midst of the trees of the garden. And Jehovah Elohim called to man and said to him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I feared because I am naked, and I hid myself." I'd like to read also in Psalm 29. I read the whole psalm, starting at verse 1, a psalm of David. "Give unto Jehovah, ye sons of the mighty ones, give unto Jehovah glory and strength. Give unto Jehovah the glory of his name. Worship Jehovah in holy splendor. The voice of Jehovah is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. Jehovah upon great waters. The voice of Jehovah is powerful. The voice of Jehovah is full of majesty. The voice of Jehovah breaketh cedars. Yea, Jehovah breaketh the cedars of Lebanon, and maketh them to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like young buffalo. The voice of Jehovah cleaveth out flames of fire. The voice of Jehovah shaketh the wilderness. Jehovah shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of Jehovah maketh hinds to calf, and layeth bare the forests. In his temple doth everyone say glory. Jehovah sitteth upon the floods. Yea, Jehovah sitteth as a king for ever. Jehovah will give strength unto his people. Jehovah will bless his people with peace." It might not be evident straight away from the scriptures that I've read, but I wanted to speak about peace. We often, this time of year, most of us will have had a nice break for Christmas, and perhaps we've got back to work and back into the swing of things, and everything seems quite busy. Certainly for me, it's going back to work, it seems quite busy and everything's happening. And sometimes we can be taken away in the moment, and we can find ourselves with lots of things to do. And perhaps for some of us that's helpful. Perhaps for some of us, if you're not a Christian this evening, perhaps it's good to keep your mind occupied and away from both of things. Because perhaps if you stop, you start to worry about some of the bigger questions in life, about what will happen to you when you die, or other worries that you might have in this life. And perhaps being busy is perhaps something you find as a benefit to keep your mind off these things. So in a way, we make ourselves less peaceful, more busy to escape from these thoughts. The common thing to do these days when we want an answer to a question, it seems to be to Google it. And I thought, as I was speaking about peace, I thought I would Google how to get peace. And when I Googled it, I typed it in, brought up five steps or five things that you can do to help give you peace. I'll just read them. The first thing that said was, "Do your most daunting task first thing in the morning." Yes, that's so that you got the worst out of the way, I suppose. But the second thing was, "Let go of things you don't control." And the world is full of things that seem out of our control. 2016 has been noted as a year of great uncertainty. Things that people thought were going to happen didn't happen. Different results came out for different elections and things like that. And sometimes these things can feel out of our control when we see the things that go on in the wider world. And I guess that's another valid point that Google makes there. Number three, don't worry about what others are thinking. Number four, list three things you love about your situation right now. Number five, walk to a window, look outside, take a single deep breath. Now these things, they might help to give us a sense of calm inside us perhaps, but these things won't last. They won't give us lasting peace. Mm-hmm. These things will give us perhaps some peace and some comfort for a time, but then we've always got to come back to some of those big questions in life, and there's always going to be worries that will come back, and these things might be helpful. This might be the world's way of saying to you, these things will help you find peace, but they won't last. You see, ultimately, the reason why there's no peace is because there is sin in the world. Amen. This came in at where we read in Genesis. This is where the first fear that man experienced was in the garden here, when Adam said, "And I feared because I'm naked, and I hid myself. You see, Adam and Eve in the garden disobeyed God. We read earlier in that passage of scripture about how God set them in the garden, told them they could eat any fruit of the garden that they'd like to eat, except for one tree. And what do? They eat the fruit of the tree, which they were forbidden from eating from. Disobeyed God. They didn't realise, I guess, at the time, the consequences of that. But they soon became evident when they heard the voice of Jehovah and they feared. That's why I read that Psalm 29, it speaks a lot about the voice of Jehovah. We see here it talks about how the voice of Jehovah breaketh cedars. I guess in the time when this was written, cedars were perhaps the biggest trees known to men. I'm given to understand that they can grow to 50 foot, or some have even been known to grow to 100 foot. Great big trees that would probably take half a day to chop down in the technology of those days. And yet the voice of Jehovah can break the cedar. Voice of Jehovah is full of majesty. Voice of Jehovah cleaveth out flames of fire. Such power in the voice of Jehovah here causes the wilderness to shake. He can lay bare the forests. It really gives us a sense of the power of the voice of Jehovah. When I'm speaking to you this evening, I don't know the mechanics of the human voice, but I'm just wiggling my tongue around, moving my lips and moving my jaw and emitting sound from my mouth. And somehow you miraculously manage to hear that and interpret it, hopefully, as words that you understand. But there's no power in that, unless the Holy Spirit would choose to use it. There's no power in that, in human speech. But the voice of Jehovah, amazing power in that. That's the voice that created the world. That's the voice that created Adam and Eve. So you can probably quite understand that they're hearing this voice and they'd be trembling with fear. Such power in this voice that they're hearing. I'd like to read too in John chapter 14. I'll read the first three verses and verse 27. So verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe on God, believe also on me. In my Father's house there are many abodes. Were it not so, I have told you. For I go to prepare you a place. And if I go and shall prepare you a place, I am coming again and shall receive you to myself, that where I am, ye also may be. Verse 27 says, I leave peace with you. I give my peace to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it fear. So in these verses, we read of how the Lord has gone to prepare a place for those that are his, and how he can give you peace. But you see, that peace came at such a cost, and that's what I wanted to speak this evening to you about. He, the Lord Jesus, he came to this world and lived a perfect and holy life. That's in contrast to Adam and Eve, who are sinful. That's in contrast to you and me, who can never achieve perfection, no matter how hard we try. We always will do things that are wrong, always commit sins. We cannot help this. It's in our nature since Adam and Eve. And yet God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, who lived in perfect obedience to the law. And he lived a perfect and holy life. And he was the one who least deserved any suffering. He was the one who least deserved any pain. And he was the one who should have been exalted and worshipped as being God manifest in flesh. And yet he was rejected. Mm-hmm. And yet man would put a crown of thorns on his head. Man would beat him and mock him. This was the Son of God who'd live a perfect and holy life. And this was man's answer. To one who healed them, one who loved them, man's answer was to beat him, to mock him, and to hang him on a cruel Roman cross. The way that common criminals were treated in those days, the worst of criminals, they were hung upon a cross and left to bleed to death. And this was what the world gave the Lord Jesus, who had came to save them. But it's because of that suffering, because of what he did there, because of that suffering, because of the agony that he bore on that tree. It talks about the 3 hours of darkness when the Father could turn his back on the Son, on the Lord Jesus. And in those 3 hours of darkness, he took upon himself the sins of the world. Mm-hmm. Because he went that way willingly. He went that way to the cross. Because of this. And because he rose again, he conquered death. Because of this, he has the power now to forgive each one of us of our sins. We could be made right, we could be sanctified, we can be made right before our God and Father. That separation that was brought in the Garden of Eden, that when after the passage I read, how God sent Adam and Eve out of the garden, and that separation that came in between man and God, it can now be rectified. All you need to do is do what the scripture says and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to save you from your sins, because he is powerful and able to do that now. That's the gospel message. That's what I've been asked to preach this evening, is a gospel message. That is the gospel message. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. That same voice of Jehovah that is so fearsome to Adam and Eve in the garden. If you do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you'll have to face the day of judgment. And you'll have to face that very same voice as you're condemned to spend an eternity in hell. It's an awful thing to think about. But that same voice can be a comfort to each one of us if we accept the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. Those of us who are Christians, we can know his voice. We can hear the Lord speaking to us, and it's a comfort to us. It gives us peace. You know, on my calendar at home, it has, at the top of the calendar, has the days of the week. It's a Christian calendar. You get Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But the first day of the week, it says Lord's Day. And I think that's a nice touch. Not many calendars do that, but I think it's a nice touch because, you know, every Lord's Day, I like to take the time just to sit and think about what the Lord Jesus has done for me. Sit and think about how he has died, suffered and bled and died for me. And the real peace that you get from remembering these things, real peace that you get in your heart from knowing that the Lord Jesus has paid the penalty for your sins, it's beyond what can compare. There's nothing that can quite compare to the peace that you can have in knowing the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, knowing your sins forgiven, knowing him as a personal friend. The world seeks after peace in many different ways. We've read of some of the ways. Some people even resort to further things like the chasing after money or getting into drugs to try and find some release. But the most amazing peace that you'll ever know is knowing that your sins are forgiven. It's not a false kind of peace that lasts temporarily. It's a peace that lasts forever. The Lord Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you in heaven. If you know him as your Saviour, what peace that brings. It brings me to think of that the Lord Jesus has gone to prepare a place for me in heaven. He's gone to prepare a place for you in heaven if you accept him as your Saviour. A place in heaven. If you think about that for a minute. We who are sinners, you think of the prodigal son, of how he was afar off. And that's the state that we're in. We're, until we come to Christ, we're afar off. We're sinners. We only deserve the judgment of God. And yet, we have a place in heaven. What grace that is, dear friend. You can be taken from the despair, and the depths of despair of eternity in hell, the thought of that. The best the world can offer you is to say, well, it's all over, the pain is gone once you die, but that's not the truth. That's the best the world can offer you. But the Lord Jesus can offer you a place in heaven for all eternity. You know, Adam hid from God. And I'd like to think that no one here this evening is hiding from God. Anyone who hears the gospel message here this evening, I just pray that they would respond to it. If you reject it, you're hiding from God, and that's not going to do you any good to hide from God. Don't hide from God. God wants you to have that relationship with you. God wants that relationship that was broken in Eden to be restored. He wants you to be his. Even the psalmist could say these powerful words about Jehovah, but at the end, he's able to say, Jehovah will give strength unto his people. Jehovah will bless his people with peace. May each one of us here this evening know the peace of God. May know the peace that the Lord can provide and rest in their souls. It's been only a short message, but I just pray that each and every person here would accept the gospel message this evening. For his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.